you will see the risen Christ. He will somehow, some way speak to you. You will see him differently. You will understand that he's there.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Forest Court Church. It's Sunday, July 6, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, When God Transforms the Road in Our Life. And our text comes to us from Luke chapter 24, 13 through 35, and Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
This morning, there are two passages of scripture that I would like for us to pay attention to. It's a long passage, and I debated whether to read it all, but we're going to go ahead and do that. In the quote, old times, whatever that was, when you would come to church, one of the aspects of our service was to read the scriptures. I remember that you would sing a couple of choruses, and then there would be the lectura biblica, you know, and you would read the whole psalm. I don't think I've ever been in a service where they read the 119th psalm. But you may feel that way today, because the first text is Luke chapter 24, and the other one will be in Acts chapter 9. But before we go to that, let me set it up this way. I remember driving in Kansas when we went to see Margie's life, and we landed at the airport, and we rented a car, and we made it to the house where we were supposed to be, and then there was this windstorm that came and just shook everything up, and this, that, and the other, and then, long story short, on the way back to the airport, I got lost. It was very early in the morning. I was kind of shattered by the windstorm, hurricane winds. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where the wind just keeps blowing and blowing and blowing, and it's just horrible. And so as I was driving, all of a sudden I missed the exit or the turn. And the reason is because we Californians, I mean, we got the best roads in the world. I mean, it says next stop, you know, let's say exit number 25, and it says it's coming up. Then a few miles, it's coming up. And then a few more miles, it's right now. And then exit now. And so, you know, like dummies, we just follow the line. But you go to other states and it's nothing. And Kansas, nada. Plain, you know. So I was driving the car at night. It was early morning, but it was night. And I missed the turnoff. And I kept driving. And I kept driving. And I kept driving. I said to him, I think we're in trouble. I kept driving. And we'll never forget the fact that there were no lights, because roads over there are, I mean, this is, anyway, bad. Until finally I came to a big sign that said Lincoln County Line. And I knew that I was very close to Colorado. So from Kansas to Colorado, I've been driving. And so what I did was I turned around. Smart, isn't it? Turn around. Because I was going the wrong way, and I was lost in the road. You know, I'm telling you, when you're in the road and you've missed the mark or you've missed the exit, you don't keep going, because you're getting farther and farther away from where you need to get to. So some of us need to wake up and find out that we're going towards Lincoln County Line, and you don't do that. So life often is like that. You know, we need to turn around, and we need to find ourselves lost, and we need to find out that we're going the wrong way, and we need to reset the course in life. But one of the problems is that as I was driving, I did not want to tell my wife, remember, honey, that I was lost. A guy never gets lost when he drives, you know, and there was a little bit of confusion there, and a little bit of pride in there, and then a little bit of grief in there, but mostly confusion, until finally I had to say, we're in the wrong road, and I just need help, and the way to get help is to turn around, because where I'm headed is wrong. and I needed help in finding my way back. And I just stumbled through it. Finally, of course, I made it to the airport, and we're here now, and I will never go back to Kansas as long as I live. But I want you to know that in many ways, that is the life that we all live. We're all in roads, living and moving and going somewhere. But I'm asking you the question, have you met Jesus on the road? Have you seen Jesus walking by you? So there's a text in Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 35. And the title of our message is When God Transforms the Road in Our Lives. How he helps us turn around and moves us away from Lincoln County line. How he speaks to our heart and shows us that the way we're going is not going to get us to where we really want to go. Let's look at Luke chapter 24, 13 through 35. It says, now, the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and you do not know the things that have happened here in the last days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. And they came and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. And they urged him strongly, stay with us, for nearly evening, the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning with us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus had recognized them by when he broke the bread. The next scripture is Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus so that if he found any way, and if he found there any who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And he neared Damascus, and near Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, who you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord said to him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias said, I am not going to go there. No, he said, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placed his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. May God bless the reading of his word. How many have read those stories before? Then I'm not going to have a problem. Because these two stories teaches us that God transforms our life on the road. That as you walk, the Lord meets you there. And these two incidents need to address your life and my life this morning. There's a great man by the name of Lauder, James Lauder, who wrote a book years ago called Transforming Moments. It's the times when the Lord breaks into your story and he opens your eyes and sets you on a new path. And I want you to know that God is interested in your story, in your timeline, in what you're going through right now. According to Lauder, and this has been seen in many other occasions, the first transforming moment that comes in your life is conflict, when things in your life fall apart. Strange, huh? But you can experience your life falling apart, consistent with human life. Secondly, it's a search in your heart, so you wrestle and you wait. The third movement is vision, when God opens your eyes and you see things clearly. And then mission, because we live differently from that moment on. Another way of looking at this is what we look in the Psalms, and we find that most of us live a life that is very pleasant at times. And our life is oriented to life. And we are fine. Everything is cool. Everything is just wonderful. And then something happens, and we become disoriented to the life that we once had. All of a sudden, things are different. And you wonder, did I sin, or did my parents sin? Probably your parents, you know. But anyway, why am I in this situation? And often, the Psalms do not tell you what happened. Often, it just happens because, get this, life happens. And then there's the third drama in the Psalms where the Lord rescues you and you're reoriented to life. And you have a brand new way of looking at life differently than from the first time that you entered into this cycle of confronting difficulties in your life. So let's look at the conflict on the road. And Again, all of us know what it means to have a conflict, to have a problem, have an issue that you have to wrestle with. And you know how difficult it can become. In the road to Emmaus, the two disciples were leaving Jerusalem. And they were full of grief and disappointment. They said, we had hoped that Jesus was going to be the one to restore. But their hope seemed to be dead. And they were walking away from Jerusalem. They were walking away. On the road to Damascus, Saul was full of zeal and anger, and he thought he was right, but his path conflicted with God's purposes, and he was actually fighting God. You know, our lives are full of that. Christian or no Christian, our lives are full of that. We all have moments like that, moments of heartbreak, moments of pride, moments of disappointment, or wrong turns. But in those wrong turns and in those moments is exactly where Jesus meets us. See, we think that God meets us when everything is going good and super. No. He meets us all the time. And he meets us especially when things are not right. When things are not right. When you don't have it all together. And it happens in the middle of conflict. How many of you have been there? I have. And you know, the older I get, the more I see my past life and I see those turning moments in my life with great conflicts and great questions, more questions than answers, but always trying to make sense out of why is this happening? And I'm telling you, the reason, the whys, throw them away, because you will never be able to fully know why things happen. So you have to deal with what has actually happened. There are three authors that we're going to follow through this morning. And one of them is one of my favorite theologians called William Barclay. And he always likes to emphasize the humanity of the disciples. And he says this at this moment when the disciples were questioning themselves in the road to Emmaus. He says, they had given up. And in their sorrow, they could not recognize the very presence of Christ beside them. Have you been there? Yes. He says, it is a tragedy of life when our eyes are so fixed on the ground that we cannot see him walking with us. Let me tell you, you're going through things in your life, but you're not alone. The Lord is there with you. It really, he is there. And for the Damascus experience with Paul, he says, there are none so blind as those who will not see, because Saul's physical blindness revealed the blindness of his heart. Sometimes we get so mad and so angry that we persecute the one that can deliver us. So the lesson I learned from this first stage of what we call conflict is that God will meet us even when we're blind to him. No matter what you're going through, there's a God that meets you where you are. He's walking by your side. No matter what's going on, even the anger that you have, the Lord is right there to open your eyes and to see that there's purpose and design in your heart and life. Another author talks about this wonderful passage, Dallas Willard, and he says that conflict is natural when you trust yourself instead of trusting God. You have to displace the kingdom of man, the kingdom that you and I build so much for ourselves, and replace it with the kingdom of God. Saul trusted his own righteousness and power, and the disciples trusted their own ideas about the Messiah, and both needed disruption. And sometimes we have the wrong idea about what God is intending to do in our lives. So the lesson I learned from Dallas is that the road of conflict, often the road God uses to show us reality of his kingdom. Oh, God, may God shake us up a little bit more. May you get a new perspective of the reality which is in God. It's another famous theologian. I'm sorry, I'm not teaching Azusa here or my classes, but you can do this. You can digest this. I got a great theologian by the name of Paul Tillich, great man. he says that God meets us in our in our vulnerabilities and when we're estranged from Him, and He offers us a new being. See, God doesn't kick you, doesn't push you away, doesn't destroy you. He loves you in the midst of the pain and the anguish and the disappointment that you have. You just need to see Him there. So the first thing that we need to do is to identify that we're going through some difficult times in life. Difficult times. And so my question to you, what road are you in? Is it a road of grief, anger, confusion? Let me tell you, sometimes I wonder if there's maybe another road that nobody talks about, but inside of my heart, I can identify it. No matter what you're going through, there is a God who cares to meet you in the road of your life. Then comes the search. And searching is in the silence of what we presume is God's mute response to us. But I tell you, there are moments in your life and in my life that when this conflict comes, we're forced to stop and search for answers. In Emmaus Road, the disciples kept talking, trying to make sense of what's going on. You know, it reminds me of myself. You know, when you talk to God all by yourself, and there are pivots in your life, there are changing moments in your life, there are decisions being made, and you talk and you talk and you talk, and you try to make sense of what's going on. At the end of your talk, your heart are still heavy, because you're hearing yourself talk. But you have to talk. You have to look for. In the Damascus Road, Saul was struck with blindness. Imagine how he must have felt those 3 days. Alone with his thoughts and praying and wondering, what in the world happened to me? And you and I need to have this moment of searching for true answers. Not make-believe answers. Not platitudes. Not sayings. But true. What is going on here in my life? Why is this happening? I want you to know that most of us agree. I say most of us, those who have gone through conflicts, sometimes God wants to slow us down. And there's nothing wrong with that. And He gives you and me space to search our hearts, to listen, and to question. God's not afraid of your questions. So don't rush through the silence. God works deep work in your silence when you have those question marks. What is going on in my life? The disciples, Barclay says, they were talking over all these things, and into that honest searching, Jesus came. And it's when you ask those questions from your heart, when you grapple with the issues and questions, that is what opens up the door for Jesus to speak to you. I want you to know that the lesson here is that honest searching, even with doubts, is the fertile ground for faith. It's in the midst of that inexplicable and that conflict that God works in our hearts. They say that Harry is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life. More than that, Dallas says we must ruthlessly eliminate Harry to hear God. Isn't that true? Do you know what the number one enemy of silence in our lives is? I'm going to dare to say it. Television. iPhone. Facebook. TikTok. TikTok. It throws you off center. Paul Tillich writes and speaks about the courage to be. It says that God is closer to us than we are ourselves. You have to slow down. Slow down. I thought we said that last Sunday. Slow down. What does yellow mean? Slow down. Those 3 days of blindness for Saul, he was forced into stillness. slow to stillness. It's been said that silence, the silence of searching, is a gift where God shows up and speaks up. So the lesson is that in the silence, God meets us at the depth of our being. So my brothers, my sisters, you are going through issues in life. Maybe it's family related. Maybe it's financial related. Maybe it's physical. And you ask yourself those questions. Lord, what's going on? And you need to search the Lord. And as you give time, then something happens. Because if you're willing to sit in silence and listen for his voice, God takes whatever is left of you. Did I say that right? Yeah. What's left of you? And make something beautiful for his glory. See, God's not done with you. I tell you, God was done with Molly and she went to be with Jesus. The Lord was done with Chris and she went to be with Jesus. And so many others who have been in our church and have gone to Jesus because their time was up and the Lord called them home. But since you're still here, I want you to know that there's something more that you need to do. There's a refresher course for you in the silence of your pain, in the silence of your question, in the road that you're following today. So my question to you is, are you willing to sit in silence and listen to his voice? When you do that, the third thing happens, which is first was conflict, then secondly is searching, thirdly is vision. Because in both stories that we read to you, the turning point came when Jesus showed up. How many know that Jesus shows up in your life, huh? He shows up. Yes, he does. And in the road to Emmaus, Jesus walked with them. And he explained to them what? The scriptures. And he broke bread. And suddenly, their eyes were open and they saw him in the breaking of bread, in the walking with him, in the understanding of scripture. And on the Damascus road, a blinding light and a voice that said, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. Jesus showed up and Saul was confronted with the reality of the risen Christ. Two things. Transformation in your life and in my life happens not because we figured it out. Some of you brains here, some of you intellectuals here, don't try to figure it out because you can't. You cannot figure out. You cannot. Transformation comes because Jesus reveals himself in your life. He actually reveals himself in you. He shows up. And so in your conflict and silence, Jesus wants to open your eyes to his presence. And get this, to his plan. Because see, God has a destiny for you, if I'm correct in saying that. God has a plan for you. There is a path for you to live. Not in misery, but a path for you to understand God's dealing in your life. In your conflict and in silence, Jesus wants to open your eyes, wants to give you a new vision of what's up for you, which is possibly totally different than you thought before. The Christian, Barclay says, the Christian begins with the vision of Christ. It begins with the vision. You need to see Christ in all of those things. He will show up. You don't program this. You don't do this by yourself. It's his work in your life. He speaks to you. And the amazing thing is that he does this without you even knowing how he does it. God is not a formula. It's an issue of relationship and his love for you and for me. And, you know, he says on to say, it's impossible to keep it to ourselves because the Lord eventually will show up and you will know that he's done something. But even more, in the work of Paul, Christ gives even the most bitter enemy a place in his kingdom and a task to do. Even when you come to God with anger and frustration, and this is no good, I'm going to kill all those Christians, he shows up in the road, blinds you. 3 days of silence and fasting, And then he sends Ananias to pray, and his eyesight is received. God has no grudge against your grudges. And all the conflicts that you're carrying and all the burdens that you have in your heart, bring them to him. Dallas says to us all the time that the Christian life, the formation that the Lord wants in our hearts, is not information, it's part of it, but it's really transformation. And let me just say a word to the wise. We don't believe something by saying we believe it. We believe it when we act on that. So you say, I want to get close to the Lord. So what do you do? What do? You spend time with him. You spend time with him. So the lesson in this moment of vision, all of a sudden, you will see Christ, and Jesus will clearly lead you to a life that is different, and you serve him in something that he has for you. Again, Tillich says, the new being appears when we accept that we are accepted. Something new happens when you understand that in spite of the problems and the issues and the conflicts and the anger and the disappointments, when you understand, when you accept all those things, the Lord accepts you as well. Don't wait to get holy to be holy. Come to him. He'll make you holy. While you coming to him, he cleanses you. He purifies you. The presence of Christ, his ability to help you see him for who he is and what he's able to do with you. So the lesson that I learned when I think about vision is that Christ accepts me. He accepts me. He loves me. And he frees me to accept others as well. That's profound. Because if you don't see Jesus in a new way, you will never be able to move on from where you are. So first the conflict, then it's the searching. There is the vision of Christ who's risen from the dead. He opens your eyes, you see who he is, and then comes the most formidable process, which is mission. Because God reveals himself to you in the midst of the conflict, and he gives you a mission. He gives you a task. He gives you something to do. You don't wallow on your misery. And you don't go into hallelujah highs and mind nothing in the world, but you have a path, you have a destiny, you have something where you need to go. Because when Jesus opens your eyes, he also sends you. He gives you a mission. He gives you a job to do. On the Emmaus road, the disciples went back to Jerusalem. They were running away from Jerusalem because of all the mess. Well, now they encounter Christ. Now they go back to Jerusalem. And what they said was, the Lord has risen indeed. That was the mission that they gave. They spoke to people. They said, Jesus has rose from the dead indeed. And when you look at the Damascus road, the apostle to the Gentiles was born, and he began to proclaim Jesus as Lord. Let me tell you. Listen, God doesn't just want to cuddle you and just comfort you and baby you. Some of you just want God to love you. He loves you, but also he commissions you. He gives you something to do. He puts you in a place of responsibility as a witness of a Christ who rose from the dead. Listen, you're going through things right now, but that platform, that issue that you're wrestling with, the conflict that you've encountered, the searching in your soul, the questions that you have, and it's all so true in all of us. But as you do that, brothers and sisters, as you do that, you will see the risen Christ. He will somehow, some way speak to you. You will see him differently. you will understand that he's there. It was an old chorus that we used to sing at Bible college. I don't know if we know that chorus today. We don't sing it here, but it's okay. It was the words were, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll see Jesus. Let me tell you, you will see Jesus everywhere if your eyes are open and if you want to see him. Because in the shadows, in your pain, you can see the devil too. But you choose to see Jesus because Jesus is the real stuff. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is there. And you get a vision of Jesus, a revelation of Jesus. He speaks to you. We said something like that last Sunday. When Jesus was asking the question, who do men say that I am? And everybody was saying, well, Jeremiah, the prophet. But turn it to the disciples and, well, what do you think? And so the Lord did not want secondhand experiences. Wanted firsthand experiences. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. And Jesus said, you're blessed because blood and flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And you need that revelation. You need to see Jesus in the shadows of your life with strength and with power, with direction. So let me just tell you, he commissions you. He gives you something to do. And this teaches me that he sends you back to the very world where you were injured, to the very world where you had problems. He sends you back to Jerusalem with the good news and a mission to proclaim Jesus is the real thing. This might have happened to me, but Christ is real in my heart. And he lives. He lives in my life. Yes, I've gone through this, or you may be saying, I'm going through it, but you're doing it with the Lord. So my closing challenge to you is, where are you on the road? Where are you on your road? Maybe you're walking in conflict. Maybe this morning you're full of grief, or maybe full of pride. You know. Maybe you're searching in silence, waiting to hear from God. Oh, God, tell me. What's going on, Lord? And, you know, I tell you because I'm just as human as you are. So many times I've said, why? Why? I never get a direct answer. It reminds me of the parquet. You have to live some years to know what that meant, you know. No, it's not parquet. It's butter. We're there. So many of us live in an illusion. We're asking something that is not necessarily appropriate for us to get. We just need to say, Lord, how do I move on from here? Lord, help me. So you need to wait to hear from God. And then some of you may be right now with Jesus revealing himself and gives you a fresh new day, a brand new day. Because maybe he's also sending you out to tell others what he has done. So, brothers and sisters, this Communion Sunday, wherever you are, he's there. He's walking with you. And he's calling you to transformation. Don't get bitter. Don't get rebellious. Don't clench your fist. Just say, open my eyes, Lord. Let me see you. And he will put in your heart a mission, a commitment. He said, do this for me. And it will come to you. And the reason there is a mission and there is something for you to do is because you're still here. Because if God had nothing for you, you would not be here. But you are here. So let the Lord awaken that in Jesus' name. So my prayer for you, Lord, meet me on my road. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Open my eyes. Will you say that?
Transform my heart.
And send me to live.
And
speak for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We all have turning points in our life. And sometimes it takes years to be able to speak about them. We all have disappointments and difficulties, but we can dwell on that and stay there. We have to, by the grace of God, have the Lord open our eyes and we see him. And you know the most remarkable thing about it? Is that he sets you on a new course, on a new venture, in something brand new for his glory and not yours. Can I hear an amen?
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from
all. Amen? Amen? The Lord of all. So kids, thank you for hanging with me this week. I know you suffered, but you're troopers. And next Sunday, you get to go back over there and play. But I'm glad you stuck with me. So I know you were there. And I know you suffered, but it's okay because you're growing up, you know, and then we'll suffer like the rest of us. Church, I don't want to hear it. This is the day that the Lord has made. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord this Sunday morning.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.